price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees and pray. You can say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch a future fade.
What the hell was that? Dude, are you kidding me? Crazy talk. I don't even know what's going on. Wow. Honestly. We had some technical difficulties for sure. Apparently there was some mix up or I don't know. Nonetheless, we got it all figured out right now. We are in good shape. Tech support is still trying to talk to me. But we are here rocking and rolling. Big shout out to them. Thank you for the help getting this thing organized and figured out. Happy Monday night, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. Finally, on a Thursday night. That's what we're doing, a Thursday night for this program. Listen, there's going to be a couple of weird episodes, you know? A couple of weird episodes because of the holiday season, just because of what's going on. That's what it is. I'm working my butt off right now. The bottom line, that's all it is. I am working my ass off. But we're here after all that nonsense. I couldn't believe it. I'm sitting here looking. I'm like, are you kidding me? We got everything worked out. Everything's organized, set up, ready to rock and roll. And then I try to log in, and it keeps telling me, problem with the system. Problem with the system. Problem with the system. Well, apparently, I thought I had two shows scheduled. I didn't schedule two shows. I couldn't tell you what the heck was going on. I don't know. Well, nonetheless, we are here now. We're going to make this work the best we can. Hopefully everyone can hear me. I'm checking out right now to make sure you can hear me. But it sounds like you can. And from what I'm getting on the feedback here, besides being yelled at for being late, like it's my fault, dude. Honestly. I think I'm sitting here doing... You give somebody something for free, and what do? They complain about it. Why would you complain? I got it. We're here. Yes. Yes, we ran a few minutes late. You are correct, sir. That did happen. However, we're here now. We're going to talk. We're going to have a great conversation. We got a great guest on tonight. We have Nina Marie Bojekian coming on. She's a good friend of mine who I met on The Taste on ABC. It's amazing. We keep having guests on this program I was on this show with. And Nina Marie went much further than I did on this program, but we still had a great time getting to know her and meeting her. And the funny part is, Nina Marie is a person that I met on this show who I didn't get to spend a lot of time with, but we talked afterwards, the show, and we talked a little bit during the show too, but afterwards, and kind of became friends that way. She is based out of New Jersey, has an amazing she has an amazing catering business, and a lot of other things. She's very, very cool. You should check her out on YouTube. We're going to talk about that too, of course. Why is that music still playing? There's so many things going on here that shouldn't be going on, but whatever. We're going to make it work because I can still hear it. What's happy holidays? It's a Christmas episode. I'm excited. I love Christmas. It's my favorite time of year. I have been doing tons of Christmas parties, as I can only imagine the rest of you have been as well, just because, well, that's what we do this time of year. We do holiday parties, and I've definitely been doing my fair share of that tonight, even going as far as making cookies. Yeah, I'm not a baker, dude. I'm not a baker. I was telling my client tonight, listen, you want me to do a party for 30 by myself and do a plate of dinner? No worries whatsoever. I won't even think twice about it. However, you want me to put two batches of cookies together? Yeah, I'm sweating bullets, dude. It's just not my thing at all. But I got them done for it. They're happy. But it's funny. It's just not my deal, dude. But nonetheless, it's part of what you do for the holidays. You know, I got to make some cookies tomorrow, I think, for my family. And it's definitely not my my bowl of gravy. And as you all know, I do love gravy a lot. Gravy is my favorite thing in the world to put on everything. Sorry. if you guys haven't seen it yet, definitely check out. Go to the Facebook page and, of course, on the Instagram page. You can see the almost want to say borderline viral video that I did with our good friend Ryan Christopher host of CT Style here in Connecticut. We did a funny, he has a series called Cruising Connecticut. And we did a, he asked me to come in and he wanted to know, he said, Chef, what exactly is figgy pudding? And I said, well, Ryan, I don't know. I've never made a figgy pudding. And he says, well, man, it'd be so fun if we could do a segment of figgy pudding. And I said, cool, man, let's do it. Did a little research, found out what figgy pudding was, went in, we made it, became a hysterical video. It's been viewed a ton. Everywhere I go lately, the past couple of days, people are asking me about this figgy pudding. And the funniest part about the whole thing, guys, is how many people have come up to me or emailed me or messaged me on social and said, hey, what's the recipe for that figgy pudding you made? And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? That was a throwaway funny joke thing. Seriously? They're like, yeah, what's the recipe? So I guess I've actually got to give them the recipe for it. So that's going to be, I got to do it. But it was funny. I got to show off my my pipes a little bit, my singing pipes a little bit. And it's funny because our guest tonight, Nina Marie, is quite the singer as well. So it'll be fun to talk to her about that. I remember on The Taste, I kept hearing about how great of a singer she was. And in this little restaurant that was in the hotel, I was hoping she was going to come down so we could play and I could play guitar or piano, whatever instrument was in there, and she would sing. Because I kept hearing how great of a singer she was. But, you know, we'll talk more about that as well. Anyway, of course, if you haven't checked it out yet, every Saturday morning, WCTX, we have two more episodes left on this first season of the show. It is Edible Nutmeg on the Road. We have two episodes left. I think this, what are we doing? I gotta look to see exactly which this one is. The show has been fantastic. People are digging it. It's everywhere. And also, if you're not here in the tri-state area, you can also check it out on edibleontheroad.com. Full episodes are there. It's been a lot of fun doing the show, man. And I think we're going to do it again. I'm not going to say it for sure, but I think we're going to do it again. I know that we're definitely doing Edible Long Island, Edible East End. So we'll be out in the Hamptons again this summer. It's one of my favorite things to do. I really, really just enjoy it so much. Again, if you haven't, set your DVR, 6:30 Saturday mornings. It's early, I know, but Christmas Eve is coming up. You got presents to wrap. You want to get a jump start on the day because you got to have the house ready before Santa comes. Set your DVRs or get up and check it out. WCTX, My Network TV. Edible on the Road with your boy Chef Plum. It's been a lot of fun doing it. So listen, you guys, now that we finally got all the kinks worked out, all the technical difficulties figured out in this program, we're finally up and rolling. I think it's time to get moving and actually talk to our guest here shortly. So what we're going to do is I'm going to do what they call in the business a live read. Are you ready? Because I have to do these. I think it's like three a month or some shit. I'm trying not to curse, but of course I curse. Sorry, connoisseur. I apologize. A live read. Then what we'll do is we'll get a song. We'll get moving, and then we'll get to our guest this evening, the one and only Nina Marie Bojackian. She's really cool. I can't wait to talk to you and tell you more stories and tell stories in front of her that I haven't told her yet. So it'll be fun to do that. But in the meantime, whenever you do these shows, like I was mentioning, I've done with Nina Marie, like The Taste and like the 9 Food Network appearances I've had, it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of caffeine. As a chef, we are all big fans of caffeine. And when it comes to caffeine, I like coffee and tea, but probably coffee more. When I drink coffee, I enjoy Birds of a Feather Coffee Company. That's right. Birds of a Feather Coffee Company is small batch craft coffee out of Tampa, Florida. They use the highest quality specialty grade beans. Their blends are complex, but very approachable, and they're always roasted fresh. Small batches, guys, means they're not doing giant vats of it, and it sits there forever. These guys are doing a great job down there. I want you to try the Morning Lark blend. It's bright with the honeyed sweetness and just a hint of citrus and spice. Fantastic. Great for waking up, especially, listen, if you're like me and you're like my friend Nina Marie, we got to get up early on Christmas morning. I'm telling you, this is the perfect coffee for that. These guys are doing a great job. Make sure you check them out at birdscoffeecompany.com. You can even sign up for a monthly subscription so you don't run out of your favorite. I'm telling you, it's worth it. You can get once a month. You can get once every other month, whatever you need. Birds of a Feather Coffee Company has got you covered. Make sure you check them out at birdscoffeecompany.com. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, I'm going to get my ducks in a row. I'm going to pop a top on a cold one and get myself ready to have a great conversation with our good friend Nina Marie Bojackian right here on Plum Love Foods Live. Stay right there. Merry Christmas. I'll be right back, guys. Hang tight. But friends like you, who needs enemies? You ain't right, you ain't never gonna be. You're out of the car, I'm afraid you've been the incline. You shake my hand while you're pissing on my leg. I'm cutting you loose, I don't need this misery. Your soul is toxic, you ain't no friend now. A weird segue. The faders aren't working. There's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. What's up, guys? Welcome back to Love Foods Live. Of course, I have to play Social Distortion for Christmas. It's like my Christmas thing. Social Distortion. I don't know. I know I'm old. You can make fun of me. It's totally fine. I get it. Listen, I just turned 26, so I'm definitely old. 26. No, really. Anyway, all that aside, let me talk to our guest now, man. I'll tell you what. Listen, how would I describe this person? So, Nina Marie was a person who I got to, the honor of being on the show, The Taste, with. And we've talked a lot with some guys on the show from that program. But Nina Marie was an interesting person. We talked a little bit on the actual program, and I kept being told about how fantastic and how nice this girl is. And I was like, I haven't seen her around very much. Who is this person? We hung out a little bit on a bus at one point, long story. And then we would always go down to the bar in the hotel, a group of us. And there was a piano and there was a guitar. And as we know, I play these instruments. And one of the people kept saying that Nina Marie was this fantastic singer. And we kept hoping she would come down because then we could play and it would be a lot of fun. But instead, she didn't. What ended up happening was, of course, Nina Marie did fantastic on the program. I completely did not. But whatever. And we ended up becoming friends afterwards. And one of the coolest things, one of the coolest things that this person did do for me was here. I live in Newtown, and once everything happened here in Newtown, she reached out and expressed condolences and was very, very sweet. And ever since then, she's been one of the favorite people I got to hang out with on a TV program. A fantastic chef, an even better person, my friend, Nina Marie Bojackian. What's happening, chef? How are you?
Good. How are you? That was a great introduction.
It was all one breath, too. Isn't that awesome?
I know. That was impressive. I like it.
That's it right there. So listen, we'll get into the stuff too in a minute, but that was a true story. Like, we were at that hotel, that shitty ass, whatever hotel it was. And it had that little, like,
Radisson,
ridiculous kind of pseudo French restaurant. And a lot of us, I mean, there'd be about, I don't know, probably 25 or 30 of us hanging out in this restaurant. And they kept saying that you were going to come down and hang out. And because I kept hearing how great of a singer you are, and I play instruments. And I was like, maybe she'll come down and we'll play it. And I had this whole picture in my head of it being like,
great singer. I don't sing now.
I don't know. That's what everybody kept telling me. I don't know.
That's great. Maybe I was kidding with somebody and they thought I really sang.
I don't know, man. That's the story. But you never came down. What the hell were you doing? Were you like researching in your room or something? Like the rest of us were down there drinking?
I don't know where I was. That's funny, though. That was a pseudo French restaurant and I kept ordering French onion soup there.
The funny part was, so it's a quick story and I'll stop talking about me, but you'll find this very funny. Of course, redneck me had to go in and meet a bunch of the guys there. And I thought it'd be funny if I went in and brought a 30 pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon and I brought it into the restaurant and I started opening up and I was tossing it to Jeff Mayen. I was tossing beers to Aram, just a bunch of the guys. I just walked in this French restaurant throwing beers to these guys, and the maitre d' came over to me, and he was like, oh, excuse me, sir, you can't bring it. And I told him, I just cut him off in my loud, thickest Southern accent I could. I said, hey, man, thanks a lot. Put that in the cooler for me. And you know what he did? He put it in the cooler. How funny is that?
See, now you were doing beer in there, but I was drinking vodka martinis in there. So,
well, of course, you're too classy. You're way classier than I am.
Yes, I do French onion soup and martinis, and you're doing beer.
We did late night Taco Bell and Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Well, the Taco Bell I can get in on. Taco Bell, absolutely.
Look, Taco Bell is always a great idea until the next day when you're like, oh my God, did I eat all that Taco Bell? Why did I do that? That was a terrible idea.
Well, I actually do Taco Bell sometimes before, like when I'm prepping and I'm doing a lot of food shopping. Like, that's sometimes my fuel. It's my guilty pleasure. And before I'm about to cook awesome food, I go to Taco Bell. I know it's pretty disgusting.
Well, look, I totally get it. You do what you got to do, and we all have our own things. Look, I'm a 7-Eleven hot dog guy. I'm not going to hide it. I will indulge in a 7-Eleven hot dog because they got chili, sauerkraut. Listen, I'm not. We come home from caterings out in the Hamptons, and we always stop at Taco Bell. Me and my girls who work for my servers, and we stop and we get a job. I'm not going to say how many, but a lot of tacos, and eat them on the way home. It's very funny.
I know, isn't it? You'll cook great food for other people, and then, like, I'll stop at McDonald's on the way, because sometimes you just want to just shove something, like, crappy and, like, warm and good and just, like, get on with the night.
Right, and as chefs, I mean, we all know we pretty much just hate ourselves to begin with, so whatever we can do to punish ourselves for some reason, that's what we'll do. So, listen, I'm so happy to have you on here, and it's funny. You're one of the people who I wish I had the opportunity to spend more time with when we did that show, but it just didn't work out that way. But you ended up doing very well on that show.
Yeah, well, pretty good. And I gotta
pretty
say,
good.
You,
I think,
if there was an award for Mr. Congeniality, you would have won that.
I was trying to be the mayor.
Yeah, you were the mayor. I guess I get the thing about you.
Well, that's a good thing, right? It was like high school. It was very strange. Listen, that show, and listen, I've done a bunch of these shows and you have too, but that one, I don't know what it was, man. It was something about that show and this the group of people, they were just so amazing and we're all in this hotel and it was just, I don't know, it was so cool. Like I made 50 new friends that week. It was amazing.
I know. You know what? It's funny you said it was like high school. It was like the first time I was able to meet a large group of people like you would in high school or college. Like, you know, opportunities as adults like that to just randomly meet a whole group of people like that. It felt like orientation, you know?
It was like orientation. You're right.
Right.
Do you remember?
Like, claim your clicks now. Claim your clicks now.
Oh my God. Do you remember this? We'll stop talking. I swear to God, we won't talk about this the whole time, but it's just, it's such a nice memory to me. Do you remember those meetings we sat through and how much they kept telling us how the show was not fake?
Yeah.
With the lawyers. Do you remember that?
Oh my God. Yes. What they call the lawyers, they called them something.
It was like the, God, what they, oh, you're right. Shit. What they call them. Oh man.
Like Ellen something or legal and whatever.
It was totally something hours. Like that. Yeah. Oh my God. And then, look, I'm not going to give any names, but if you go back and look at some earlier episodes of this very program, it was hinted to by people who were directly associated with the production from that show that it was kind of fixed.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, whatever. Of course. I mean, listen, it's I've done so many of these things, and you know, a lot of times they are, it's just the way it goes. I mean, I've told everybody when I was on Cutthroat, they pulled me aside and asked me to be the bad guy because nobody else was doing it. So it's just the way it goes.
Yeah,
whatever.
No, I get that. And even other shows I've been on, after the fact, I've heard directly, and I won't name names either, from the actual host telling me,
woo!
You know, it had to go this way because they told them to.
Totally.
So, you know.
Yeah,
amazing,
I mean,
right?
But that's, it's got to be entertaining, right? And you have done some other stuff, man. Like, you were obviously on The Taste, that's what we did, but you also, I mean, you were on that show Rocco's Dinner Party, right?
Yes.
And now, I feel bad saying this, because I know some people who know him listen to this show, but, I mean, I don't know how else to word it. Was he a douche?
You know what? He's not.
No,
he's really not actually. No, he's really not. He's actually really, really, really nice. I really enjoyed him. Like, I was, and everyone wants to always know how Anthony Bourdain is, but I think I really liked Rocco DiSpirito. He was very cool. Even off camera, he would come over and say hi. He's the opposite of being a douche, honestly. And going into it, I didn't know what to expect because you would think he could be.
Wow, you know, it's funny how people. Yeah. It's funny how people like that, how you look at these guys who do these shows and you're not sure. I thought for sure I was going to hate, I did Guys Grocery Games and that was one of the few wins I've gotten in my life. But I thought for sure I was going to hate him. And I got there and all we did in the interview was make dick jokes the entire time. And we're actually friends now. We talk. I still talk to him because he was the coolest cat ever. He was so nice and so friendly. And just the second he realized there was
a guy
that he could make dick jokes with, he just started doing it. It was amazing. And it's just funny how we have these, you know, predetermined things in our head of what these guys are like. And I think Rocco's probably a douche. And maybe, you know, you say he's great.
Yeah, no, he's not. And then people keep on thinking, you know, Anthony Bourdain is going to be this like rough, awesome guy. And don't get me wrong, he's a great person to be in the show with, but he was almost on the shy side, you know?
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting you to say that at all. I bet that's crazy. I mean, you know, you got to spend way more time with him than I did, but, you know, I thought the guy, he was cool to me. I was one of the few people who got to talk to him, like, at that first round of, you know, the first round of whatever. I got the chance to talk to him. He was cool as shit to me. So I was like, I don't know, he's regular guy, you know,
and he was
which
cool.
Is what you want to see.
Definitely cool, but yeah, he was like reserved, you know.
Yeah, but. totally. So now, like, you know, we'll get back to talking more about that stuff too as well. But what are you doing now? Like, obviously, you have your catering, but you also have a baby. How old is the baby?
Four, a little bit over 4.5 months. So he'll be 5 months.
Wow, that's an awesome time, though. That's an awesome time for it. I mean,
he's just starting to like giggle and like all that awesome stuff.
Is he? He's not crawling yet, right?
No, he's not crawling yet. I think that comes like next month or two or something. I think it's great now when you parent because you just Google like when do babies smile, done. Then, you know, when did babies crawl? So I think via Google it should be in a month or two.
Well, listen, but it's one of those funny things, though. Because the second that he starts to crawl, you realize you're raising your child in a death trap. That's the funniest part. Like, you realize how many things in your house could kill a child immediately. Because if it's got a sharp corner, if it's got a hard floor, they're going to fall on it. They're going to hit themselves on it. It's what they do. I think they search it out. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. And this, and my home is all mirror glass. It was like not decorated or designed for a kid at all. It was all just to look really cool. So I have to definitely baby proof this place in.
Yeah, you got to do that right away. So with having a new baby, like, did you take some time off from working, or what was your story with that?
I did. Yeah. So he was due in August. So I worked up until I think the end of June. So I gave myself that month of July off because it was getting pretty hard standing on my feet at that point. You know, you have a wife and kids, so you know, I'm sure what she felt like towards the end of her pregnancies. So that was a little hard. And then I just started picking back up last month, little by little. So now I'm back in the full swing of it. And, you know, my family helps, my mother-in-law, my mother, my dad babysat today. So it's a family affair with my business and with helping with the baby. So it's good.
Well, it's tough because when you do the business that we are in, I mean, you know, there's no maternity leave or nothing like that. I mean, you can take all the time off you need, but, you know, it's one of those things you got to prepare for, because when you work for yourself, like, you don't, there's no paid time off. Like, that's, you, if you take time, you can take as much time off as you want, but then you're not making money. Is that how it kind of works with you?
Oh, yeah, totally, totally. And I kept calling it maternity leave. Like, oh, I'm on my maternity leave. And my husband was like, a made up maternity leave. Please stop saying that. But, you know, I wanted to feel good about taking off, right? I have my right to, as a woman, I should want to feel good taking off. So no one was saying that, but it was my maternity leave.
Now, does your husband, does he work like a regular job?
Yeah, he does. He works regular. He's in sales for ADP, and he does, I don't know, he sells something.
Look, I've been married since 2003, and for 20 years, for God, who knows, the first 10 years of my marriage, I had no idea what my wife did. I couldn't have told you. I was like, she does HR for some company. I don't know. Now she doesn't work now, but that, I don't know. I had no idea what she did. But it's funny. So, you know, I was asking that because has your husband ever been in the restaurant business or anything? Does he understand what you do? Does he get, like, you know, I mean, it's a commitment, you know?
Yeah. So he does not get, he knows, obviously. I've been with him since I started. Like, I knew him before I even went into cooking. So he's seen the whole thing blossom into what it is now. But he is not in it. He does help because he has to. You know, he's my free labor.
Yeah, I saw your YouTube videos. But he's good at it.
Yeah, like, so he has to. I force him and a lot of other people and a lot of other family members to do what I do and get involved with what I do, if they like it or not, and he's just one of them. So, I mean, is he good at it? You know, he helps me, and he's great help. I love to have him there, but he does not cook at all, you know. So when he does it, we always call it. Do you watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
You know, I sound like an asshole because I don't. I haven't seen it, and I feel bad for saying that. But as your kids get as your kid gets older, you'll get it. You'll be like, ah, now I see why he doesn't really get it, because it's either watch a show or maybe get 2 hours of sleep. So who knows?
Right. Yeah. Well, anyway, he has certain jobs. Danny jobs. He's Danny, so we call him Danny Jobs. You know, he'll move the oil, pour out the deep fryer oil, stuff like that. So. He likes to be in the background. If he's dressed in all black with a walkie-talkie at events, he's happy. He doesn't like to talk.
Oh my God, that is way too funny. That's hysterical. Well, listen, I do pop-up dinners. We should do one together.
We should. I would love that. That'd be awesome. That'd be really.
We're gonna do an amazing one out in the Hamptons this summer. We'll talk about it. I got to bring you out and come do one with us. It's so fun.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I definitely did my baby moon. We went to Montauk and it was awesome and did that whole.
Wait, really? I am out there all the time. We're at Montauk.
We stayed at Rushmeyer's. Okay. And then every day we're at Ditch Plains Beach, and we went to the Ditch Witch truck and stuff. And I just started watching The Affair, and they all are taping there, so it's pretty cool.
Dude, the Ditch Witch. It's the only place where you can buy a chicken Caesar wrap for $44.
Yep, exactly.
So my
Exactly.
brother-in-law owns he owns the Surf Lodge, and he owns a
Oh,
place
get out.
called Swallow East out there. He owns two restaurants out there.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I've been to Surf Lodge, obviously. Everyone does when they go there, but that's really cool. That's
It's
really
the worst
cool.
place on
Well,
the
I'll have
planet.
to It's the worst place in the planet, you said?
Oh my God, I hate it. So does he. But it's just for what it's become. It's terrible.
Oh,
Dude, that okay,
so you're
so
and you're allowed to
we're
stay.
gonna
Now you said your brother-in-law owns it.
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
He's the sole owner now.
Wow, it's cool.
Well, look, we'll talk about that offline, but that's amazing. I actually love Montauk.
Oh,
The past couple of years, I've fallen in love with it. For those of you who don't know, Montauk is the very end of Long Island, so it's past the Hamptons. It's the very end.
they call it
It's a
the
really
end.
cool place, man.
The end of the
Yeah, it's
world.
the end.
Actually,
It's the
my
end of the world.
brother-in-law just got engaged there this couple months ago.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, they popped
Yeah,
the question.
it's a
They're on the beach.
Wow, it's a cool spot. We did a pop-up dinner out there, I guess about a year ago now. And it was, I mean, we were out there that morning. I had my sous chef and one of my girls were out there like digging clams up by Lake Montauk. So we could, it was awesome. Just a really, really cool experience. I love it out there. I thought I was gonna hate it. It's amazing. And so we gotta make that happen. That's another conversation though. That's boring. No one gives a shit about that. That's us talking business.
Yeah, totally.
Right on. So you took a little break. You're just now getting back into doing work. So are you getting like, have you done any holiday parties yet for yourself? Or I mean, 'cause right now I'm getting killed with it. Are you doing any of that? Or is it kind of like the weird time to
Yeah,
come
no,
back in?
we've been doing a ton of that. And this is the first year that I'm a mom approaching Christmas doing catering.
Yeah.
So now I now
Yeah.
know like it was always hard to begin with, but I have to tell you, I thought Christmas was Monday until yesterday. So I just lost a day.
That's awesome.
So I
Well,
literally lost a day yesterday, and I was at the event talking to my servers, and no one corrected me. I was like, it's so great that we have the whole Christmas Eve is on Sunday, and we have this whole weekend before Christmas,
oh my
thinking my husband
God.
was going to be around all weekend to help me get Christmas going. But so I lost a day, and then I just bumped into a client earlier this afternoon at a store, and I told her this, and she said, well, now you're officially a mom. If you thought Christmas was Monday and Christmas is Sunday, you're officially a mom. And I was like, yeah, I guess I am.
That is awesome. Is it make me a bad person that I'm happy that no one on your team corrected you? Like I think it's great. And then like you the second you walked away, they all started laughing at you. I think that's
Yeah,
great.
probably. They're probably like, what the hell is she talking about? Yeah, no one corrected me. No one corrected me. It wasn't until last night it dawned on me that this is not happening this Sunday. So I lost a day.
Oh my God.
Oh, well.
Well, the
Yeah, we've
good
been doing
news
tons of
is
holiday parties and all that.
Christmas comes the same time every year, so it's always on the 25th. Just remember that. That's what I keep getting told. It never changes, and I'm like, okay,
Yeah.
good. So I've got it down pat, and just wait to you'll eventually get this weird elf will show up at your house, and you'll have to like, the elf. You'll wake up every morning, and the elf's doing something different in your house. So that's
Oh,
always a fun
right.
thing.
I'll find it on a shelf maybe one day.
Oh, mine is taping up doorways and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. It's insane. And it's yeah. Anyway, so
It's
check it
not
out.
a
So,
tooth fairy anymore. It's an elf.
oh no, it's an elf. It's an elf and he's obnoxious. I can't stand her. Her name is Snickers and all I want to do is just throw her outside. But you're kind of like me. I'm actually, I went to culinary school and so did you. You went to the French Culinary Institute, is that right?
Yes.
Now, did you go like right after high
Yep.
school or did you take a few years off or how'd that happen for you?
No, I went after college. So I
Ooh.
went to Pace in New York in the financial district. And
Okay, right
then
on.
in college is when I really started cooking, living on my own, doing my own thing. I was the first one I had my own apartment. I had to cook my own food. And that's when I quickly super got into cooking at that point. And I went to school for anthropology. So I was doing a lot of different food studies and food, different cultures of food. And then it just really just hit me like, wow, I need to be doing this.
Right.
So I waited till I graduated and then I went to culinary school.
Wow. And how was that like coming out of like regular college? Because I was a music theater major in college my first time around, which basically meant I worked in restaurants. And then I went to CIA. So it was, you know, it's definitely a, for me, it was like a, you know, it's definitely, culinary school is very different than regular college. Was it that way for you?
Oh yeah, because you know that the French Culinary Institute is not a it's a certificate school. It's not a degree school. So and now it's called
Right.
the International Culinary Center. But so it's not like they. I think at the CA you leave with like your associate's degree, leave with your bachelor's degree. So these are
Yes.
you know different. It's a you know a certificate program school, and you have professional classes, and they also have non-professional courses there. But so it was interesting. I think actually, honestly, we had a real mixed bag of people in our class with age differences. We had people who, maybe one or two people who were in their 50s, but most people were in my boat. I found that there was
Right.
maybe a couple high school, right out of high school kids, but most of them went from college and then did this. Maybe they did it because they already had their degree and then they wanted to try cooking. So most people in my boat, they're right out of college,
It's
or around
funny how
my
that
age.
works. It's
Yeah,
funny, you know, I went, I mean,
exactly.
CIA is very, it's very military where I went, and I remember them watching them make a 64-year-old gentleman who was in my class. His last name was Moskowitz, and he couldn't make a corned beef, and they brought him to tears. And I was like, God, that's really messed up, dude. Why, that's not
Wow.
necessary. Why are we doing that? But he pushed through and finished. I think he finished. Did he finish? I think so. But it's quite hardcore. It sounds like it's similar. I mean, not as similar, but I mean, you know, with what you were doing at French Culinary.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely like a rigorous you know curriculum, and you know it's definitely cool. I don't I feel like looking back at it was like wow, do you even know what you were doing? Like you have these state-of-the-art
Right.
classrooms, these amazing chefs teaching you,
Totally.
and everyone in their little whites and the chef hat and all that stuff. Like did I really acknowledge what I was doing at the time? Like I would love to go back now just to experience it like again, just 'cause the fun element of it now, you know. But
Completely
it was
different.
definitely awesome to do it. Yeah. And you know it's I mean, and you would know too. I mean, I don't know, you said how old are you? You said you were 26. Are you 26?
No, I'm pretty far from 26, to be very
Well,
yeah,
you said
no,
26, my jaw dropped. Not that you look older, but you know, I just figured you were
you were
older.
like,
But
God.
you know, when I was in culinary school, this just shows like the way the times have changed. It was the first season of Top Chef.
Right,
So when
right.
I was in culinary school, it was this whole new rock star chef, you know, celebrity chef thing was totally a whole new concept. When I went into it, I was just like, I want to cook. I, you know, not knowing what I really wanted to achieve, not didn't see the end goal or what this big culinary world had to offer. Now I would love to check out what it's like today. I'm sure everyone goes in there thinking they're going to be the next Food Network star or something.
Oh my God, it's we talk about this a lot on this program. I got into food because of two reasons, and I'm 38, just if you didn't figure that out.
Okay.
But
Okay.
I got into food because one, it paid my bills, and two, if I could cook, I could meet hot women, and that's why I did it. And that's honestly, it's the God's honest truth. That's how I met my wife. My wife is way more attractive than me, but that, and it's because of food. But you know, in doing that, yeah, you fall in love with it, and you know, I had my ups and downs and fights with it. But food's been great to me. Food has given me a great house. Food has given me, you know, three beautiful children. I mean, food has done a lot of things for me, and I'm on a whole different relationship with it now than I was even 2 years ago. It's amazing how much it can change with people. But you're right. People who come in to this business and like, I want to go to culinary school because I'm going to be on the Food Network. And I'm like, dude, you just have
Right.
no idea what you're talking. You're an idiot. You're stupid. You have
Right.
to earn that. You got to earn it, man. I say doing those things that we've gotten to do that we have had the opportunity to do, are more the product of a lot of hard work than they are a goal of, you know what I mean? Like, it's like a byproduct. Like, you get
Right.
to do all these cool things because you've done all the stuff. You've won a ton of awards. You've done a bunch of press. I mean, like, all that stuff comes with a lot of hard work. And these kids now, I mean, it's insane, and it's the bane of my existence right now that I have I refuse to ask. You're not supposed to ask how old people are when you hire them, but I have to. I just can't. I can't hire these 20-year-old kids anymore. I can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's definitely changed, like, throughout the years, I'm sure. And, you know, when I was at my graduation, one of the head chefs that was there, he was speaking at our graduation, and he kept on telling all of us to be humble, like, over and over again.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, maybe I was naive. I'm thinking, what is he talking about? You know, and now I understand why he's saying that. You got to be humble. You know, you go into people's restaurants and you're, you know, to be humble, to actually really be humble when you're cooking and
totally.
Get out there. So
just shut up and listen sometimes, you know. We don't need to, you know, always chime in or give your two cents or just listen. I mean, it's the way
right.
it goes. I think it's important to do that sort of stuff. I mean, you know, you've been through it too.
Right.
I think it's, you know, you just got to pay attention sometimes. I don't know. Let me get down. Let me move this soapbox out of my way I was standing on.
Get that thing out of the way.
yeah, enough of that nonsense. But it's funny because I think when it comes to a point, I was just, actually, let me just digress. I was just in, you were mentioning Top Chef. I was just in New Orleans recently with Leanne Wong. She was on Top Chef, and then she became the producer for like seasons 2 through 9. Amazing person. She's from Hawaii. She's fantastic. She ended up taking us to a gay bar in New Orleans, which was awesome. Whole nother story itself.
Oh yeah, I bet that was.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Now in New Orleans, I haven't been there, but I heard that when you get one, you order one drink, they automatically give you two. Is that a thing?
You know what you would think is awesome, and here's the thing. Bourbon Street. I mean, obviously, if you go to New Orleans, you got to go check it out. I hated it. I'm too old for that shit. It's just not my thing. But everything else is so awesome. It's just awesome. It's just a different, it's a whole different world. And yes, I mean, they pretty much just bring you drinks. Like, it's just the way it goes.
Right.
So, as a chef, as I'm sure. Oh, it's so worth the trip. It's so worth the trip. Completely worth it. So, listen, we've talked about The Taste. We've talked about some of these other shows you've done. Talk to me a little bit about doing... you know, segments. I've done probably hundreds of these segments, whether it's on national news, local news, but you actually did something with CNN that I think is really cool, and I had no idea you got to do it. You host something called 100 Places to Eat Like a Local. Now, that sounds like an amazing gig. What happened?
Yeah, after, you know, when you do something cool like The Taste, you know, other little show, you know, other smaller things want to pick you up or ask you to do it, and you meet different people and this and that. So I did that, and it was really cool because they let you pick the restaurant, being the segment host.
Oh, wow.
They let you decide what you want to do. So, you know, I was trying to think where do I want to take them, where do I want to take them. So I decided to go to the Saddle River Inn, which is near, I'm from Franklin Lakes, New Jersey, originally, Bergen County, and this is, it's an old barn restaurant. It's really beautiful. So I chose that after, you know, looking and thinking, and it was really fun. So the chefs cooked, I told them we were coming in, and they were really excited, and it ended up actually being new owners when we were going in. So they were super pumped to have the cameras there and do a fun segment, and their food was awesome. So, you know, it was just, I actually loved hosting. It was really fun.
It's amazing, right?
But I was the one in control. Yeah.
It's funny. It's funny how that works. Yeah, it's funny how that stuff works, and it is fun to do and do those things, and that sounds like an amazing segment. And now, was it just one segment you did with them, or was it a series of a few?
No, that one was one segment. It was a single segment.
That's cool.
Different people in the industry and stuff, so I happened to be one of them. So I guess they had a chef that time, and a couple other times I've catched that they've had different, like, CEOs of different companies and things like that, so... and they run it like throughout the year, like it played like over and over a bunch of times. So it was cool to have that.
Well, that's an amazing. I would think that was an amazing thing to do, and that's something for sure. Like it's so much fun doing a thing with CNN. I mean, what's better than that? I mean, especially if they're going to kind of give you control of it. But I noticed though
like a reporter.
I think you'd be a great reporter. I think so. Right, I could just
Thank
see like
you.
You're getting frustrated with the entire. No, you get frustrated with the entire topic and just tell it to F off, and then do something different with it.
Only
the interesting thing,
doors.
Right? when I look at the stuff you've done, though, it's interesting to me, and I don't mean this in a bad way. I mean it in just more of an inquisitive way. You haven't done a lot anything with Food Network. What's the story with that?
You know, I don't know. It's funny.
Some people hate the network. Network.
No. I don't hate it at all. But I mean, what would I do on the Food Network that you're surprised that I haven't?
I mean, you haven't done, like, Chopped is kind of like a rite of passage, you know, like everybody does.
Well,
Chopped,
you know,
like,
funny you say that. It's funny you say that. The first season of Chopped, I was casted. And
oh, were you?
They had, you know, yes, they had everything from my chef coat size to all the millions of interviews. And this was when I didn't even know what the show was about. It was the very first season. And
yeah.
Then right before they had to get, they called me and they overcasted that first season.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. So I was, you know, when you get bitter. And I got bitter for a little bit from it, you know, and then the time went on.
Totally.
And then I haven't reapplied or haven't, you know, went back for it. But I really should. Everyone always tells me, why don't you do Chop? Like, someone just told me that last week. I must hear that about 10 times a year.
Well, if you want to, I can get you in touch with Beth, who is, I mean, Chop is her
Beth.
Show. Yeah, so
right,
that's
right. And I think originally I casted with her probably originally. I mean, I was younger.
Probably,
I don't
yeah.
even know what year it was. But yeah, no,
oh
I
my God.
At times, Beth.
She's a beast. Like, I had her on the show. She's a buddy of mine. And I think you should go do it. I mean, they don't normally take people who have done TV, but they would take you for sure. You should go do it because you kick ass.
Yeah, I knew Beth before. Now she has her own casting company. But before that,
yep.
I forgot who she was with. That's when I first met her. But I feel like every chef in this area knows who Beth is at this point, right?
I think so. I mean, she's one of those people, though, if you want to do this sort of stuff, that's the one you want to talk to. And it's funny because you're right. You mentioned earlier about when you do these shows, how other things kind of pop up. But it's almost like a circuit of chefs who are kind of on this, you know, probably, I would, you know, it's 500 chefs or whatever who are on this circuit for these shows. And they're trying to do away with that now, which is funny, and hire and bring different people in. But it's almost becoming one of those tough things because to do these things, you got to be able to talk a little bit. And, you know, for the most part, people in our business, you know, especially the, you know, the chefs, the people who are leading the back of the house, they're not good talkers. I mean, obviously you are, but I mean, there's exceptions to the rule, but I think there's more chefs who are not good talkers than are.
Yeah, well, definitely. And that's why I wanted to, that's why I decided to leave the restaurant was when I wanted to,
right.
I was getting tired of being in the back of the house and just like locked in the back. I loved it. Like I was just reminiscing about the other day. There's nothing that feeling of working in the line and all that stuff. It's all great and fun, but I was like sick of just being tucked away in the back. And I knew I like had
right.
other things I wanted to do. And I wanted to talk to people and actually see people eating and like, you know, have a little hand in the front of the house a little bit and the event stuff and that whole other side of eating, interacting with people. So that's why I stopped being in restaurants. I wanted to move forward to catering and the whole private sector because I wanted to interact with people.
So what are some of your, when you're doing the private stuff and you know, we both kind of do the same sort of thing. What are some of your kind of go-to things you like to make for clients?
I have a lot of,
don't you hate that question? I hate that question.
I do. Oh, I hate it. It's the worst. When they say, what's your favorite thing to cook? I hate that.
I know. It's the worst.
It's the worst. Thank you. But, you know, everything we do is custom. So whatever the client wants. But, of course, I have my go-to dishes that I like to make or I know that are crowd pleasers. Like
right
now we're doing these edamame dumplings on these tasting spoons. Everyone goes crazy for it. We just served them yesterday and everyone was like, they just killed them and we're ripping through them. One of the popular dishes I've always done that are really good crowd pleasers that I do a lot of and a lot of people order them for me around the holidays is our chicken scaparelli. So
nice.
It's basically marinated chicken that's grilled, and then it's sauteed with topped with crumbled sausage and sauteed artichoke, olives, capers, caper berries, pepperoncini peppers, and I think artichokes, I said that already. And
you did, but it sounds amazing.
Together. So that's, Yeah, it's so good. It's like briny and it's just delicious. And it just and everyone just loves it. We do it on buffets a lot, and we sell trays of it around the holidays, so clients love that.
Wow, that sounds awesome. It's funny how you find these things you kind of go to, and I'm with you. The whole, I worked the group for a while, years ago, a catering company who would send out these menus to clients, like choose one from this category, choose one. I was like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Like everything, I mean, I don't make a menu for a client until I talk to them on the phone at least for 5 minutes, just so I can see
I
what they want,
can't.
what they
I
like.
know.
Yeah. I
Yes,
mean,
exactly. And a lot of people will call me and say, like, I didn't see a menu on your website. And I'm like, you're not going to.
right. Let's talk first. I mean, I then I explain a little bit and I tell them, for the most part, anything I'm gonna make for your party, I'm gonna make that day. So, like it's not like we're gonna make things ahead
Exactly.
of time, and it's not how it works. And one of the things that people are loving that I'm doing these days is I do this dessert grilled cheese. It's like buttered pound cake, and then we grill it, and then we have a sweetened mascarpone with a little bit of lemon zest, and
Oh,
it's oh, it's badass. People are like,
that
holy
sounds
shit, this is grilled
good.
cheese. Yeah, it's dope, dude. And it looks really cool. We can do really small ones
Wow.
and put them on a tasting spoon. It's awesome. It's awesome. But so, what do you think? So, when you're doing these parties, and you, as I, we both do it. Obviously, if they say it's a party of 40, I'm prepping for 45 to 50. Are you kind of in the same category with that?
Say those numbers again. Say those numbers again.
So yeah, if they say it's 40 people coming, are you prepping? Obviously, you're prepping for more than 40, right?
Yes, totally, totally. I mean, I think maybe I'm an overeater, so I'm an overfeeder as well. And in the beginning, when I started, I was like, okay, so if I'm serving five pasta hors d'oeuvres, each person's going to eat three of each, which is not the case. They're going to eat three total. You know, but
Right.
you live and you learn and you readjust it and stuff, and you know what's popular, and you're going to make more of that. But yes, I definitely am always preparing for more, and sometimes more show up.
Oh God, I hate
Yeah.
that
Oh, I hate
happens.
that. And then we're like debating, like, do we say something? Do we not count the plates? And we have the servers running out and counting the heads and all the heads are counting the plates up. It's the worst. Yeah.
And this is just completely just for my own personal questions, not even nobody cares. I guess people who cater probably care. I never cost parties out per head. I always do it per the gig. Do you do it per head or do it per gig?
Oh. No, I do it per head for food. Per head for food. And then staff is extra, rentals are extra, dessert is per person unless we decided on just like if it's a cake, then it's the cake price. So
Right.
once we establish the per person cost, then everything else is like a la carte and extra. If they want valet, if they want centerpieces, they want rentals, that's all extra.
Ooh, look
So no,
at
I don't
you.
do the
Look at you.
overall. Yeah.
Valet,
Because then what
huh?
do you do then in
Wow.
valet? But then what
What
do
the
you do
fuck?
then if they call you and they're like the day before, a couple of days before, they say it's 10 more people.
Yeah, I guess
That's
that's true,
a lot of math.
but then what if they call you the day before and say, "Oh, we're having 20 people not show up?"
Oh, I make them sign an agreement a couple of weeks before, and they are held to a minimum.
Yeah. See, I don't know. It's tough, man, because I've had that happen to me. I had a client who we did a party for. It was supposed to be 45 people. She had 41 people show up, and she was like, "Well, we had four people not come." So, and I was like, "Whoa, are you fucking kidding me, dude?"
No. Oh, so I hope so. Did you tell her no, or did you go back
Yeah,
down?
I told her to go shit in her hat.
Okay, good.
I was like, it doesn't work that way. I don't care how you, I'm still prepping for that many people. I mean, that's the way it goes,
Right. You know what? You got to give them credit for trying, right?
Yeah. I was like, dude, you got balls. That's impressive. That's
Right.
impressive. So
Exactly. They
there's this
don't
new
know.
thing.
People don't know if they're not the ones doing it, they don't know the hard work and.
Ugh.
I try to explain to people, the type of work and the effort and when you purchase food, it changes per person and you count that for what you're saying, okay, I'll do extra this based on how much you're
Right.
making. So.
Right. And it just changes. I mean, it just, I don't know. Usually you're right. I guess I kind of do it a little bit per head too, but it's interesting because I mean, you talk to different caterers all along, all the time. I do. And everybody kind of does it a little bit differently. It's funny how you find what works for you and that's what you do. But right now, it just came out today, yesterday, with everybody being so environmentally conscious and worried about things and waste in the world. I mean, we have a lot of cool things here where I live, where we have companies who will actually come and take, if you have leftovers from a catering that you're not going to wrap up for the client or whatever it is, and they'll take it to a homeless shelter or things like that for you. But there's an interesting thing that just came out for the home cook, the home, just anybody's home. It's a recycler. And what it does is it composts stuff for you. And the interesting thing about this that just came out, the amount of stuff it holds and the price. Like, it's one of those interesting things that you see, hey, that's a great idea, and then you hear how much it costs. Check this out, Nemery. This is awesome. Just listen to this, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's nuts.
Mm-hmm. We waste more than one-third of our food supply in this country. More than 20 pounds of food per person per month ends up in landfills. A new food recycler from Whirlpool hopes to change that. Zira Food Recycler takes unwanted food scraps and breaks them down into rich homemade fertilizer. The secret ingredient is the Zira additive, made from coconut husk and baking soda. Combine the additive with organic waste, and Zira can break down a week's worth of food waste, nearly 8 pounds, in just 24 hours.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Zira can chow down 95% of a family's typical food waste, meat and dairy included. It's not a fan of processing large bones or pits, so think twice before discarding your entire holiday ham. With a capacity of about 8 pounds, Zira hopes to be a counterside companion that can stand up to outdoor composting systems. But it won't come cheap. The Zira Food Recycler will have a $1,199 price tag when it makes its debut to consumers this spring.
How much?
$1,100. It's $1,100. Like, honestly, if I told my wife, listen, I'm going to buy this machine that composts food for $1,100, she would tell me to get my head checked. Are you kidding me? That's...
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know any of the science. Can't you just don't people just throw food in compost though?
Exactly.
You actually need a machine for that. Isn't that a thing? No. Like you throw the eggshells and banana peels and leftover soup in the compost. Isn't that a thing?
That's exactly what you should do. You put you make a little compost bowl, a compost pile. If you have a garden, it's easy to do. What I think is interesting is that you're seeing these companies. The reason I played that was because you're seeing these big companies. Whirlpool or KitchenAid starting to capitalize on this whole movement of people and chefs and home cooks who are trying to be environmentally friendly and they think they're doing the right thing by paying $1,100 for this machine that they could do in a bowl outside in the same amount of time. It's insane. It's crazy.
And I think that food that we throw away is probably the least of our worries of like a plastic. It disintegrates.
Right.
It's natural. It's not, that's the least of our problems.
It's just, I mean, honestly, $1,100 for this machine. And it, you can't see it obviously because we're on the radio, but it looks like a tall kitchen trash can. And they show like an X-ray view of it and it has like this, it looks like this the cylinder worm of like your grinder on your KitchenAid mixer, and you put your stuff in there. And I'm sure you have to buy this husk, coconut husk, weird mixture thing to help degrade your food down to this fertilizer. But what I just don't get is that I don't know. Are they trying to actually give us something great that can help with stuff, or is it more about making money? What do you think?
I'm gonna go with. Probably trying to make some money.
You think so?
Unless it ends up being a big movement and this is like a thing. I mean, listen, I think giving food to the homeless is a wonderful thing. And trying to figure and putting your food in your backyard to decompose and make your own compost. But that is, this doesn't really seem like it's probably helpful. What do you think?
Just, I don't know. No, I think it's just one of those things where they're trying to capitalize on this whole generation of, I mean, the best way I put it is everybody who wants to be gluten-free, lactose-free, or whatever the diet is today, whatever, that's the people they're trying to capitalize on, in my opinion.
Right. I can picture in my head the type of person who would buy this.
Yeah, we're gonna do a party for him in the Hamptons this summer. It's gonna be great.
Excellent.
So listen, I want to play one more, and this is one I've played for. I played before on the show, but do you know who? You've seen the movie Super Size Me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna play you this play story.
That guy who eats the McDonald's.
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
60 days every like breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah. So he opened this chicken restaurant called Holy Chicken. Okay. And it's all about farm-raised chicken and all this stuff. I'm going to play this quick spot. It's really quick. I'm going to play it for you and then tell you the story behind it because it's going to make you sick when I tell you the whole story. It's insane. Just hang on. All right, check this out. This is nuts.
I've eaten so much chicken over the course of this. What do we want it to be like? What do we want it to taste like? What do you want the texture to be? It's like everything. It's like I've eaten so much. And what is everybody else making? Like what are all the other chicken restaurants doing? So I am in beautiful scenic Columbus, Ohio for the grand opening of Holy Chicken, our pop-up chicken restaurant. It's going to be here for the public to try and for us to kind of experiment for the next 4 days. Part of what we want to do is kind of close the gap on where chickens come from. So now I know where they come from. They come from my farm in Alabama, where we raised them, where we fed them, where we took them to become the chicken sandwiches that are going to be served here. So the fact that we actually raise these chickens, it is probably the greatest farm-to-table story you could ever have. Yeah. It's different. That's why I like it.
All right. So Morgan Spurlock, that's his name, right? The guy who did Super Size Me. That's who we just heard right there, Morgan Spurlock. And Morgan he's become quite the food guy. And that sounds great, right? It sounds like a great restaurant, a pop-up restaurant. We're basically making these high-end chicken sandwiches from a farm. Like, it sounds great, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you walk in, and it's very much like, you know, the counters are all wooden. It's got these beautiful green walls. There's pictures of farms everywhere. The menu is really small. And everybody's very nice and friendly. And it kind of, it's a fast food pop-up, but it's not. Like, they try to make you feel like you're not in there and you're doing something good. I mean, even going as far as not have French fries, but they have fried asparagus instead of French fries, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Then you sit down at the table, and this whole thing is the entire 3-day restaurant was filmed because he's making a movie out of it. Basically, he's making a movie to show how stupid the country is. They ended up when they opened this restaurant. Oh, it's going to be ugly. Just hang tight. This is the whole story. The mayor came. They did a whole ribbon cutting for the opening. The town was like, "Oh, this is amazing! Look at all this stuff." They all ordered food, and only a few people noticed the table tent on the table. And if you read the table tent on the table, it tells you it's basically the same chicken that KFC uses. It's factory raised, just it's a farm. It's a real farm that he owns, but it's a factory farm where these chickens are kept in shitty conditions and they're slaughtered and they're not like taken care of. And it's all a gimmick just to see how much things like the color of the walls, the wooden counters, and this story that he told, which if you notice in his story, he just said it's a farm that he owns, a great farm to table story. He didn't tell you anything about how the chickens are kept and taken care of. Filmed the whole thing to make a documentary out of how dumb we are as a country when it comes to marketing. How fucked up is that?
Yeah. I mean, it's 100%. It's 100% true, right? Like, you go to
food
or something, and they make you feel good. So you walk away, and you're like, I just spent $200. To have dinner for two nights, and I feel really good about myself and feel good about my decision when you probably could have went to ShopRite, spent half the amount of money, and you're getting the same stuff.
I mean, is that what we've become now? Is that what we are? Is that what America is and our food culture, where we want to, that's what it's all about. Like, we want to know where, you know, we want to just make sure that not so much about the food itself, but that we feel good when we're buying it. Is that what we are?
Yeah, exactly. Everything you want to feel, anything, even with the clothing we buy. And I mean, we know that if you have an organic type of company, you are definitely capitalizing on the trend. If it wasn't a trend to do, and I'm not saying these companies aren't good for doing this, and it's not bettering our society by any means, but it's a trend, and it's the popular thing to do. You feel good about yourself, and you feel like you're doing good for the world by making those types of decisions. So obviously, stores and different brands are going to try to market for it.
It's hysterical. I mean, you walk into a place like Chipotle, and how different is a Chipotle to a Taco Bell? It's not probably that different, but we feel like it is.
Probably not. Yeah, and you know what? I'm an idiot too, because when I have like a Chipotle salad, I feel like I'm like being super good.
Yeah. They are good salads though. Like that's no bullshit.
Really
that's good stuff.
Very good. They're really good.
So look,
when they had that salmonella outbreak or something for a while, I got a free coupon in the mail for a free burrito and I went down and got it anyway.
You're like, oh man, that's terrible. But I got a free burrito. Let's go get the free burrito.
I got a free burrito. They made this all better.
They made it all better. It's funny, man. So look, in a year when this movie comes out, you remember, hey, I was on Plum's show and we talked about that. Because it's going to be a giant movie. Because it's pro wrestling, Nina Marie. That's what he did. It's pro wrestling. He went in there, ran a gimmick on this entire town, and then told them that it was all a work. It's not real. I mean, gotta love Maurice Spurlock. That's awesome.
Yeah, because I remember seeing that documentary and then like Food Inc. like a little bit later, like around the same time.
Yeah.
I don't remember Food Inc., but that was like an eye opener and.
Completely.
It still kind of haunts me. It's still I still think of it when I purchase chicken and all of that stuff.
Oh,
that was
man.
A thing to say.
I had an opportunity and my wife made me not take it to have the PR person from Monsanto on this program. And she was like, you shouldn't do that. And I thought it would have been an interesting conversation, but she wouldn't. She's like, you can't. That's the mafia. You don't want nothing to do with them. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe I do. Might be fun, but I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, that's another conversation itself, but totally. I don't know. You'll see that movie's going to come out and you're like, wow, that's crazy. And then this recycling machine's going to come out and it's going to be $1,100. But in 3 Christmases from now, it's going to be $200 and we're all going to have one. That's the way it goes.
Right.
It's insane. Check it out.
And then we're going to feel like fools for not getting in this business of this expensive machine.
Yeah, right? We're like, we could have made some shit that decomposes whatever. That's nonsense. Listen, somebody can't. All it is a diaper genie with some coconut shit in it. I don't know.
A diaper genie.
I'm doing a terrible job at not cursing on this program, too. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you're not doing a great job, but you're doing okay.
Well, I appreciate you making me feel good about myself. Nina Marie, tell them where to find you on social media before we play What Did We Learn?
Instagram is the Nina Marie. Twitter is at Chef Nina Marie. And they can see me and learn about me on chefninamarie.com and my company at oolalacatering.com. That's OOHLALA catering.com.
Which I completely misspelled like 4 times last night, just so you know that. Like I just totally just And also Instagram. What do you find just really quick? What do you find is the best social media for you? Like, what do you do the best with? For me, it's Instagram. What do you do?
Yeah, I like Instagram. I like Instagram the most. I like the visual, even like looking at other people's profiles, the food, what they're about. Yeah. You know, you can click on something and size it up pretty fast. Twitter is too much reading nowadays.
Yeah, Twitter's crazy. I just recently my PR person made me join Facebook and I was reluctant to do so because I don't really care what my mom's friends are doing. But she made me join that. And yeah. And I noticed you're a big Instagrammer.
The mom's friends and the mom, they're good support too. The whole different group
really
over
fun.
There. They're good at the Facebook too. Yeah.
I guess they are. You're not very good at Instagram because you didn't even like the post that I put up with you. I put your picture and you haven't even said anything about it, but that's fine.
I am good at Instagram. I just, when I saw it, I was dealing with the baby, but I'm going to like it and share it like now. So.
Oh, that's cool. By the way, Chef Aaron Reed from Chicago sent me a message and told me to tell you what's up. So I'm passing on a message right there.
Oh, he's so nice. He said
he's married now.
We went out a couple times. I know. We went out a couple times, and even like my mom, she came out when I was doing the taste, and she works with me and stuff, and they got along and hung out. That was funny. I think they even became Facebook friends. So that's
how did we not hang out?
I know. We just, and everyone could then saying like, oh, he's so cool. Plum. I'm like, who is this guy? So, yeah.
Well, just to be serious for a minute, it was funny because I know we talked briefly a couple of times during that show, very, very briefly. But after everything happened here in Newtown, it was very, very sweet of you. And you, I'm not sure how it all went down, but I know you reached out. I think it was via Twitter or something. And that meant a lot to me. I really appreciate that. So that was very, very cool.
You're the first person I thought of. So,
of course. Amazing.
Not everyone was safe, but you know.
I hate people who are good people. You piss me off. I don't want to be your friend anymore. No, but that meant the world to me, and I really appreciate that. And I'm not going to get into it, but that was pretty amazing of you to do that. So I thank you for that. And ever since then, I'm like, you know what? This is a cool person. I want to make sure I'm friends with her. And, you know, hopefully, for sure. No, it was very nice of you. Are you kidding me? as of right now, I'd like to take a couple seconds. If you got two more minutes' time, you know, ready to play What Did We Learn on Plum Love Foods tonight? Can you give me two more minutes?
Sure.
All right. What Did We Learn is, of course, brought to you by Ergo Chef Knives, the new shape of cutlery. You can check them out at ergochefknives.com. There is still time to get your holiday presents from them. These are the knives that I use every single day. I swear up and down by these knives. They are locally made here in Connecticut, and they will make sure if you have any hand fatigue, you won't have them anymore. Make sure you check them out at ergochefknives.com. Use promo code PLUM15 off to get yourself a nice discount off that holiday gift. Ergo Chef Knives, the new shape of cutlery. Check it out. We're going to shape your brain in a brand new way. Tonight, I learned that apparently all the talk of Nina Marie being a fantastic singer was not true. That's what I learned.
I am actually kind of good, though, but no one knew that.
Oh. If you do say so yourself. You know who it was? It was Joe Deckelmeyer who kept telling me how great of a singer you were.
Oh, me and him had a singing thing. We had us singing that song that was out, I Just Met You, and This Is Crazy. Here's
oh my God, are you kidding me?
So Call Me Maybe.
So Call Me Maybe. Oh my God. Yes. Dude, I did a piece. I did a piece for the local ABC channel here where I'm singing. It's my first time ever singing on TV, and hopefully it'll be up to your standards. You can see it on Instagram if you want to. It's very funny. We're making figgy pudding, and all I do is hit on the guy I'm with. But I can't believe you just... Carly Rae Jepsen. Was that right?
Yes, yes, yep, exactly. That was the song of that time when we were there.
I told that story so I could buy time when I figured out her name. Carly Rae Jepsen, that's who it was. Wow, that's insane. Yeah, all right, Nina Marie, you had to learn something tonight. There was a lot of information that got put out on the show tonight. You had to learn something. Tell me something you learned.
I learned that you're not 26.
That's not true, I'm 27.
Okay, I learned that you're, yes, okay.
Well, listen,
that's what I learned.
We didn't talk enough about your YouTube series that you have, you and your husband, cooking. And I meant to bring it up, but I forgot to, but I'm admitting it now. But one of the things I learned from watching you and your husband cook on your YouTube series, it was anchovy paste kind of sounds gross to me when it comes in a tube.
Why? How do you do anchovy paste?
I get anchovies and I chop them up till it becomes a paste.
I guess I've learned tonight.
I don't know.
Stuff when it comes to anchovy paste.
No, I wasn't saying that. Watching you cut a pineapple when you're cutting it towards yourself scared me to death. I'm like, she's gonna cut her hand. That's how it's gonna end. It's gonna be fantastic.
I got to check that because I didn't notice that I cut it weird. I mean, I can get a little crazy with my knife. But I will say that
you're ridiculous.
Soup is actually pretty delicious.
Well, I'm going to check it out for sure. I'm going to look it up. And you can go on YouTube. Just type in Nina Marie Bojakey and you can find it. It's the Stir Crazy, right?
Yeah, it's Stir Crazy the series. But if you just type in my name, it comes right up. I'm pretty much the only Nina Marie Bojakey in the whole wide world. That's a little fun fact. So if you just type in my name, it'll come right up. No, there's no other one in the world.
But it's fun to watch you guys. I was checking you guys out, and it's a pretty fun thing to watch. So definitely check that out. Are you going to do more of them, or what's the story?
Yeah, we have to do more. You know, we had good momentum, and then my husband got his job got more demanding, and then the baby and all that life. But we love doing it, and we're going to start it again.
Well, that's awesome. So definitely check that out. It's a lot of fun. Come on, Nina Marie, give me one more thing you learned tonight. One more thing.
Let's see.
On the spot, you can do it.
I learned that people create stupid machines for people to buy to make them feel good about their wasteful food.
Yeah, that's really good. Like, I'm not sure. Are they doing it to make it better? Or just trying to do it better to make themselves feel better? I think is what it's about, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you are throwing out 20 pounds of food, what they say, a week or something?
Yeah.
Or a month?
Yeah.
If you're throwing out 20 pounds of food a person in your household a month, then you're pretty wasteful, I think, in general.
You should just kill yourself.
Yeah, you should just kill yourself. And you should find
there
that
we
much
go.
Food.
Yeah. I learned that it took at the end of the show for me to finally get Nina Marie to say something mean about people. That's what I learned. You're very nice. I think it took me that long to finally get you to admit they should kill themselves. Well, awesome. Well, listen, you have been a lot of fun to talk to. We will definitely talk soon about doing other stuff. I hope that the baby has a fantastic Christmas and that business begins to be booming for you, even with the baby.
Thank you. And you too, with your daughters and your wife, and happy holidays and all that good stuff.
I know, it's crazy. Christmas. Oh, by the way, I also learned that Nina Marie is terrible with a calendar. She had no idea Christmas is actually this weekend, not Monday. It's not Monday. That's right.
Hey, I'm a mom now. That's normal, right?
Oh, come on. Stop it. Maybe to other people, not to me.
I got mom brain.
There you go. Mom brain. There it is. Make sure you check her out. Find her on social. Check out that series online, Stir Crazy. It's pretty fun to watch. They do a great job. It's very funny to watch her and her husband. And hopefully we got to tell him stop making guys look bad. Guys can cook too. Tell him that. Tell him I said that.
I know they can, but he has no interest. But, you know, we're great. We do live demos together too. We're doing one in a couple weeks. And
oh my God.
You know,
oh my
I think
God.
People like it. I think people like that he can't cook. I think he likes he can't cook.
I think he likes it. He can't cook. That's really funny.
Listen,
you've been so much fun to talk to. Wait, say it again?
He doesn't want to, just like he tries to tell me he doesn't know how to pack his suitcase. You know, it's one of those things.
Hey, you know one of the things I can't do? I tell my wife all the time. I have no idea how to work the washing machine. I don't know how to work it. I don't know how it works.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
No idea. I mean, it's got these funny buttons. It makes weird clicking sounds. I couldn't tell you. I have no idea.
Yeah, I bet. That's a good one.
Hey, it's been so fun to talk to you, and I think this might be the most we've ever talked in person. I hope we get a chance to do more often. You're very, very cool. I appreciate obviously what I said before about everything that happened when things in Newtown happened. You got in touch with me. But more importantly, you're a great chef, and I look forward to maybe doing some work with you in the future.
Oh, thank you. I hope to work with you too. So let's keep linking up.
There you go. You got it. Thanks again, Nina Marie. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you. Bye,
Jeff. All right. Be good. There she goes, guys. That is Nina Marie, one of the coolest chefs in the world. She's out there in Jersey. We appreciate her time this evening. Make sure you check her out. Find her on YouTube. And, of course, check out OohLaLaCatering.com. A very, very cool person. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is time to put a bow on this show, get it wrapped up, and get on out the door. You can find me on Twitter's at Chef_Plum. That's at Chef_Plum on Twitter, as well as Instagram. And of course, every Saturday morning here in the Tri-State area on WCTX, My Network TV, check out Edible Nutmeg on the Road. That's right, guys. We got a lot of big things coming up with this show and as well. So hopefully we'll get more in depth with that next time. We're also going to get back on our regular schedule here soon. I apologize for the messed up schedule, but with the holidays and with work, and you know how it goes, you guys, you know how it goes. We'll get back on a regular schedule here soon. I promise. I swear. Like, I know the Monday night thing worked out great for everybody, but I had to work Monday. It's just the way it goes. But ladies and gentlemen, in the meantime and in between time, Merry Christmas to you and your family. Thank you for checking out this program. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Let's make sure we do the time we deserve. We'll see you next week. Peace!
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees.